Today's shiur is Masech Menachos Daf Ayin Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Ayin Beis Amid Beis at the bottom of the Amid, two lines from the bottom of Ahai L'Hochi Hudasim. We had learned in the previous shiur that by Karban Mincha the halacha is that kmitza is done, and the kmitza is burnt on the Mizbeach, and the Shirayim are written by the Kohanim. And the Gemara established that so is the halacha by all Karban Minchas that come from wheat, from chitin. The Gemara wanted to know, how do we know that so too is the halacha by carbon minchas that come from barley? And the Gemara quoted a pasuk at the end of the shiur, "Kol mincha b'lulav Hashem v'charev l'chol b'nei Aaron tiyah." To teach us, and that pasuk teaches us that halacha. Freck asked the Gemara, "Ahai l'hachi udasa? Is that what we learn from that pasuk?" Don't we need that pasuk for what we have learned in the Braisa? For it teaches us the Braisa. How do we know that when we divide the shares of the Kabbalists to the Kohanim, we don't give one Kohen a larger share of a Kohen Mincha and another Kohen a larger share of a Behema, a portion from a Behema that was brought as a carbon? Tamaloimer, b'chol ha-mincha sh'tarafi b'tana, b'chol b'nei Aaron tia ish k'yachiv. Everything is divided. We don't make deals, so to speak. We don't decide that this person should get a larger share of this and this person should get a larger share of that. Why? So the Rishonim give two explanations. One explanation is because it's a bazaar to the kachim. It's not respectful that we treat the kachim as if they were something that we make transactions with. Another explanation given by the Rishonim is because we don't want that the kachim should be considered as if they're the private money of the Kohanim. And this one gets this and this one gets that. The way that this is shown is by not allowing this type of a division. You get mincha, the other kind gets kachin. Of course, the fundamental question that the Sfasemis and other Achroinim discuss in understanding this Gemara is when we say that this is may not be done, is that even if two Kohanim consent? That means if two Kohanim agree between themselves, I'll take mincha, you take carbon, what would be the halacha? It seems that it's the opinion of most Achronim, based on what the Rishonim say, that too would be prohibited. The Sfasemis asks it as a question, what would be the halacha? Interesting to point out, that the Tzoisus Rishonim already discusses, may a Kohen sell his karbonis? He gets a share of the carbon, may he sell it? The Tosfos Rishonim is not quite certain, and he seems to take the opinion that would be permitted. But it seems that it's the opinion of most that, just like we're learning now that we can't divide the Kabbalists in such a fashion, so too may they not sell their shares of the carbon. However, what I did see that the Mefarshim point out is that even though there's a discussion if the Kohen could sell his share, what about a person who's about to do a mitzvah? Can he sell, or has the right to do a mitzvah? Does he have a right to sell that? And there's a raya from the Gemara in Baba Kama that he may do so. Because the Gemara in Masechta Baba Kama teaches us that if somebody's entitled to a mitzvah and someone else seizes that opportunity, the person who unrightfully sees that opportunity has to pay asar zehuvim, 10 gold pieces. If I didn't have any ownership in my mitzvahs, then why am I entitled to payment? Although, the other person certainly suggests that one cannot sell his right to do a mitzvah, after he did the mitzvah. The entire discussion is prior to doing the mitzvah. Which opens up the question, can one sell schar mitzvah. If one is entitled to a schar mitzvah, is he allowed to sell it? Certainly, the Pesach would say it's inappropriate for one to sell the schar in his mitzvah. It shows a lack of respect for the schar mitzvah. Furthermore, the Pesach suggests that one cannot sell the schar mitzvah after he already did the mitzvah. The question is, however, if before somebody's doing a mitzvah, can he sell his schar mitzvah? There are many Pesachim that suggest that one may do so. In fact, we know there are situations of Yisachar Zvulun where somebody learns and someone else supports him and they share in the schar, clearly indication that schar mitzvah can be sold. There are other Pesachim that suggest that schar mitzvah cannot be sold since it's not a tangible item and a valid transaction has to be on a tangible item. Furthermore, they say, we know that schar mitzvah b'hai alma laka hayoyim la'soysom u'mochor l'kabel scharim, and therefore the schar mitzvah is a davar shel b'olam and hasn't yet come to the world, and the halach is that a davar shel b'olam one cannot do transactions with. There's a wonderful story with the Gra. There was one year where the Gra did not have dalaminim, and his assistants went looking for dalaminim for the Gra. They finally found a person who had dalaminim, and they asked that person if he could please sell his dalaminim that they could get it on behalf of the Gra. And the person refused until he ultimately said, I'm prepared to give my dalaminim to the Gra on the condition that the Gra, I receive the schar mitzvah for the Gra, for this mitzvah that the Gra took the dalaminim. Given that they had no other options, otherwise the Gra would not have dalaminim, they had to agree. When they came and they brought the dalaminim to the Gra, they were concerned that the Gra would be upset that they had sold, so to speak, his schar mitzvah. And when they told him what happened, he was actually very satisfied. So he explained. Normally, he said, when I do a mitzvah, I know I'm going to get schar, and therefore, there's always the concern that I'm doing the mitzvah for the sake of getting the schar. But now when I'm going to fulfill this year the mitzvah of dalaminim, I know it will be shloi almanas l'kabel pras, because my schar is already given away. So I know that I will certainly do the mitzvah purely l'shma, purely l'shay mitzvah. To know that I will have the opportunity to do the mitzvah purely l'shma satisfies me greatly. Continues the Braisa. Yochel yichalkum nachas k'neged zvachim. We would think that you can't make that the one coin should get a bigger share of the mincha and the other coin should get a bigger share of the kabbonis. So like common takhtayim b'dalos, we know that the Torah teaches us by a carbon oil of a yoyed. The halacha is that if one could afford it, he should bring an animal. If he can't afford the animal, he should bring birds. If he can't afford birds, he should bring menachas. So we don't find that menachas are ever substituted for animals. Aval, yichalku menachas k'neged oifes. Perhaps having birds in the place, having mincha in the place of birds, that we just explained, so they come after them b'dalos, if they can't afford the birds, they bring the carbon mincha. There, you can't make such an arrangement. Tam loimer v'chol nasir macheshes l'chol b'nei Aaron tia. The Torah adds these words, v'chol nasir macheshes. We know that the Torah is speaking about carbon mincha. Why does the Torah come to teach us that even this type of arrangement is prohibited? Continues the Braisa. Yochel yichalku menachas k'neged oifes. We can't have menachas and oifes make this kind of an arrangement, because they're totally two different categories. Shalolam min adamim, v'alolam min kemachim. Birds are living things, and this is flour. However, yichalku oifes k'neged zvachim, that we should be able to make such an arrangement that one kind should get the bird, another kind should get from the animal. Shalolam v'alolam min adamim, they both come from living things. Tamaloimer, v'amachvas l'chol b'nei Aaron tia. Here too the word amachvas is superfluous to teach us this halacha. Continues the Braisa. Yochel oichal ko'ifus k'neged zvachim. We can't have oifus and zvachim with such an arrangement. Shalola siyosim biyad, valola siyosim bekli. As we know, a bird is killed in the Beis Hamikdash with the kohen's fingernail, with nalika, and the animal is killed with a knife, with shechita. Av yichalku menachas k'neged menachas. The halacha should be that amongst korban mincha, such an arrangement should be allowed to be made. And as we showed him, point out, it's not only amongst korban minchas that the Gebrais is suggesting such a arrangement to be made. It's also amongst korban oifus, amongst korban behemus, because they're all in the same category. She'elu ve'elu asiyosim biyad, tamaloymer, v'chol mincha belul b'shemen, v'chol b'nei Aaron tia. The Torah adds the words v'chol mincha to teach us that such an arrangement is never permitted. Yochel lo yichalku machas k'neged macheshes. That the halacha should be that you can't divide machas and macheshes. That one kind should get the machas mincha, and one kind should get the macheshes mincha. Yochel lo yichalku machas k'neged macheshes, or macheshes k'neged machas. Shezeh maseh koshim, v'zeh maseh rakim. As we usually explain, the carbon machas is made on a griddle. And therefore, the surface is a crispy surface when it's fried. The macheshes is deep fried, and therefore it's more of a spongy consistency. That's the way most mefarshim explain. There are other rishonim that explain that the dough that was prepared for the machvas mincha is a different type of preparation than the dough that was prepared for the macheshes mincha. Avo, Yechalku, Machvas Kenegim Machvas, or Macheshes Kenegim Macheshes, we should say to one kohen, you'll get your share in the Machvas Karbonis from this Machvas, and you'll get your share from this Macheshes, Machvas, or same by Macheshes, Tamaloymer, the Torah has the extra words of Harevel called B'nei Aaron Tia, that so too may not be done. Continues the Braisa, Lochalo Yechalku B'Kotchi Kotchim, we would think that this is not permitted B'Kotchi Kotchim. Avol yichalku b'katchi kalim, b'katchim kalim. Since we know that katchi kalim is considered mamon bailim, furthermore we know that katchim kalim may be given by the kohen to their family members, the wives, the daughters, the avodim kananim to eat. There, the halacha perhaps should be that such an arrangement is permitted. Tamaloymer ish ka'achis v'mal toida. The Torah puts together the parasha of Toida, which is Kachin Kalim, next to the parasha of Menachas, which is Kachin Kachin, to teach us, Shem Shem Cholkin the Kachin Kachin, just like we may not do so by Kachin Kachin, Kach Ein Cholkin the Kachin Kalim, so may we not do so by Kachin Kalim. Interesting, Machlokes Rishonim, if this halacha, that these type of arrangements are prohibited by Kachin Kalim as well, as we just learned, is it only said to Kahanim? Or does this halacha even apply to Yisraelim? Because we know that the Yisraelim get a share of the Kachin Kalim. And will the same rule apply by Yisraelim? Tosfos, so Rashi explains, what is the basis of this agreement? It's a basis of smuchin. Since the Torah puts the parasha of Toida, which is Kachin Kalim, next to the parasha of Menachas, which are Kachin Kachin. However, Tosfos asks that the Gemara Masechta Kedushin says that the Tana of this Braisa is Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda is the man, the Amos throughout Shas, that only learns Smuchim in Mishnah Torah. He doesn't learn Smuchim in the other Sedras. So how could this Braisa be teaching us that we learn Smuchim when Rabbi Yehuda doesn't subscribe to learning Smuchim only in Devarim, only in Mishnah Torah? There's still a number of answers to this question. One is that it's not to be understood as smuchim, rather it's to be understood as a hekish between kachin kachin and kachin kalim. Others explain that it's based on the vav, the im al taida, so it's learned as a vav maisiv alinyan rishin. And yet then I saw another interesting terence, that even though Rabbi Huda normally only learns smuchim in Seder Dvarim, none of the other storim, But in a place where it's obvious that smuchim should be learned, there Rabbi Yehuda will agree that we learn smuchim even not in Seder Devarim. And the explanation goes as follows. Here, it's obvious, the Mepharshim explained, that smuchim should be learned. Why is it obvious? Because the Torah and Parshas VeYikra discusses Shlomim, which is Kach and Kalim. So logically, the Torah should have as well discussed there Toida, which is Kach and Kalim. Why does the Torah teach us the Parash of Toida in Parashas Tzav? It must be because the Torah is trying to teach us a lesson. The Torah specifically wants that the Parash of Toida should be next to the Parash of Menachos to teach us that just like the arrangement that we've been discussing is not permitted by Kachi Kachim, so too is it not permitted by Kachim Kalim. Concludes the Braisa, Ish Chayot Vafil Balmum, when we give out shares of the Kabbonis, even a Kohen of the Balmum who may not do the Avoida gets a share. However, Vein Kotten Chayot Vafil Baltam. But even about a cotton, even if he's Baruch Shem, a healthy cotton is not entitled to get a share of the Kabbonis. And the reason is, because, the Rishonim explained, because a Baal Mum, although he can't do the actual akrov of the carbon, he can do certain avoidance of the carbon, he could do the shechita, whereas a cotton may not do any of the avoida, and since the cotton may not do any of the avoida, he's not entitled to a share. Which opens up an interesting question that I saw that the post can discuss. May a cotton be the kohen, a cotton who's a kohen, may he be a kohen to receive the pinyan aben money? Rabbi Kiva Eger and others say that a cotton can be the one who receives the pinyan aben payment, because the Torah says v'nosan, that it is the obligation of the father to give the pinyan aben payment, and it doesn't make a difference as long as he's giving it to the cotton, it makes no difference that he could be koinit. And even though, as the Sois discusses, the halach is that a cotton is obviously not an individual who is able to make kinyanim, so the Sois says that it's like a Yerusha. Just like a Yerusha, you don't have to have a kinyan. So too, regarding pinyan aben, it's automatic. As soon as the father gives it to whichever kohen, it becomes his, and it's fine. The Nesivus disagrees. The Nesivus says that it does involve a kinyan, and since it involves a kinyan and a cotton is unable to participate in kinyanim, so therefore you should not give it to a cotton. So too, the Chasam Sofer says, since we find, he says, in the Pidyon Aben procedure, the Kohen asks the father, B'mai Boaz Tvei, what do you prefer, Bincha B'charcha, your son, or the Chamas Slayim? So clearly seems to indicate that it's a transaction to which a Kohen cannot participate. Darach HaShulchan also says that one should not do a Pidyon Aben with a Kohen who's a Kohen, and he explains because a Kohen who's a kohen, it's a bezoyin to use such a cotton. And furthermore, he brings Al Gemara, that Al Gemara says that a cotton doesn't get a shear in the kabbonis. So just like the cotton doesn't get a shear in the kabbonis, so too he doesn't get a shear in the pidyon aben. Which, although the paiskim say, is not necessarily a compelling argument. For as we explained, why does the Baal Mum get a shear and the cotton not get a shear? Because as we explained, the Baal Mum does do some part of the avoida, some parts of the avoida is qualified for, whereas the cotton is not qualified for any part of the avoida. So perhaps, strictly when it comes to giving shear of the kabbonis, where there the cotton doesn't do anything, and therefore he's not entitled, and the kohen does, and he is entitled, that's why it's different. But when we speak about the pinyan aben, where there it's not given in exchange for any avoida, it could be that the cotton is treated like all other Kohanim. But back to our Gemara. So we've used this pasuk to teach us this halacha, that these types of arrangements may not be done by kachshim. So therefore ask the Gemara, how can we say that this pasuk is coming to teach us that even by the carbon mincha of soirim is the halacha, that there's a kmitza burnt on the mizbeach, vashar, and the rest is nechal or kahanim, eaten by the kahanim? Answers the Gemara, hahu mikol nafka. The Torah uses the words kol, and we learn from the word kol that by soirim the same halacha applies. Ask the Gemara, but we use the word kol earlier in our Masechta on Daf Samach Gimel to teach us what Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda taught us. Well, Fikta Lech Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, disagreeing with Rabbi Shimon, holds that you can't bring a Karma Mincha that will be half Chalas and half Rikikin. So we can't use the word kol for that limud, we need it for this limud. Answers the Gemara, Ella, and who me the kol? What Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda learned, he learns from the word ve, from the letter vav. That's how Rashi explains. And therefore the word kol is left over to teach us the din of Michas Oirim. Others say it goes the other way, that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda's limud is learned from the word kol, and the halacha about Michas Oirim is learned from the vav. So this was Chizkiya's basis, how he knows the halacha is that by Michas Oirim, the carbon is Michas and the Kmetzes Vashar Nechel Kahanim. But the Gemara now is going to bring another Braisa that discusses a pasuk in the Torah that speaks about the Matnas Kahuna. And from learning this Braisa, we clearly will see that so too is the halacha by Michas Oirim that the Kohen get the Shear. Ravina Amar, because Ravina says, ask him the Tani Levi. We learn from the Braisa, the Levi taught us. The Tani Levi, the pasuk says, L'chol kabonim, l'chol mechaisim, l'chol chatosom, l'chol hashamam. These are the broad categories that the Torah teaches us of Matnas Kahuna. And the Gemara teaches us that the Torah, by indicating these categories, is trying to teach us, the Braisa comes to teach us a halacha regarding Matnas Kahuna. Chol kabonim comes to teach us l'rabbis loy shemesh matzayir. We know that when the matzayir becomes tahar, the halacha is that he has to bring a loy shemesh matzayir, which one kohen pours from that loy into the palm of another kohen. And as we've learned, that kohen who has the oil in his palm sprinkles 7 times towards the kachet kachim. Then he applies oil to the matzayir's right ear, right thumb, and right big toe. The remaining oil that's left in the kohen's palm is smeared on the matzayir's head, and the rest of the oil in the loik shem is given to the kohen. For says the Braisa, says the Gemara, Salkadat Chmina, since the Torah, when it speaks about the kabbonis that are given to the kohen, mina esh kosv rachmana, only such kabbonis that are put on the mizbeach, and as we just described, the loik shem and shem atzayir is not put on the mizbeach, so perhaps the kohen, the kohanim, should not get a share, kamashalon, that they do. Ask Taisvis that the Torah should have omitted the word mina esh, and then we wouldn't have a shayla that certainly the loik shem and shem atzayir goes to the kohen. Taisvis doesn't answer, but I saw the Mefarshim suggest that the Torah did have to add the words mina esh, either to teach us that the kohanim are only entitled to their share in kabbonis after the emurim were put on the mizbeach, after they were put up to be burned, one shot, or another shot, something that we discussed and we'll discuss further in our shir mitzvah shem today, is that the halacha is that the kohanim may not use the shear of what they get in the kabbonis for their own personal use. Mina'esh, it should be considered like something which is burnt that they may not use. They can eat from the kabbonis, they're supposed to eat from the kabbonis, but they're not supposed to, it's not supposed to be used for their own personal use. The brasa continued, l'mechal minchasam, l'rabbis, mechas oimer, mechas kanaz, that the kohanim get the shear from mechas oimer, mechas kanaz. So before we go further, this is a raya to the question that we've been discussing. Because minchas oimer and minchas kanas are common minchas that come from sa'irim. And here the Braisa clearly teaches us that the kohanim get a shear. Why would we think that these common minchas should be treated differently? Because says the Gemara, Salkadat chamina va'ochlo oisam ashakupa behem omarachmona. That where did the kohanim get a right to eat from the kabonis where the carbon affects kaporo? For hay, the mechas oimer, as we've been learning, lahat the kasya. The purpose of the mechas oimer is to permit the chadash. Vidach, the purpose of the mechas kanas, the mechas soita, levar kasya, is only coming to determine did she have an adulterous relationship. Kamashmalan, that even in these carbon mechas, the kohen gets a share. Points out in the tzif, it clearly seems from our Gemara that these carbon minchas, as the Gemara explained, don't come to for kapara. All other carbon minchas do come for kapara. Ask the Netziv, what is the carbon mincha mechaper? Says the Netziv, the carbon mincha is mechaper for midas ras. If somebody, unfortunately, has bad behavioral traits, that's what the carbon mincha comes to be mechaper. The pasuk says, ulchol chatosam, l'rabbis chatosayif. It comes to teach us that the koyin gets the chatas oif. Four says the brisa. Says the gemara. Salkadat kamina neveilihi, as we said earlier in our shir. The chatas oif that was brought in the Beis Hamikdash wasn't geshachtim. It was with malika. And therefore, since it was malika, and we want to kill a bird to eat with malika, the bird would be in the veila. And therefore, they shouldn't get a shir. Kamashmala. As we've discussed previously, the Asfin Daraisa, Rav Yosef Engel has a discussion. What does it mean when the Torah says that Malika is done on a bird brought in the Beis Hamikdash? Does it mean that since that's the way the Torah tells us to do the killing of a bird in the Beis Hamikdash, that's the Shechita of a bird in the Beis Hamikdash? Or is it to be understood that certainly if Malika is performed in killing the bird is Nevela? But the Torah is teaching us that under this circumstances, kosher in the Beis HaMikdash, Nevela may be eaten by the Kahanim. So he wants, it's a very big discussion amongst the Achroinim how to look at this. So he wants to suggest that perhaps our Gemara is a Raya that's considered a Nevela. Because our Gemara says, Saltatat Chamina, Nevela he. But then he says maybe just the opposite. That may be exactly the shock levitari of our Gemara. That the Gemara in the Havamina assumed that it's still a Nevela. Whereas the Gemara in the Maskana teaches us that what the Torah teaches us, that Malika should be done on an Oif, what the Torah is teaching us is that is the way that the Oif and the Beis HaMikdash is considered a Shchuta. Chol HaShama, the rabbis, Ashim Nozav Ashim Tzayr, come to teach us that the Kohen gets a share of the Ashim of Dashim that a Nozah brings and the Dashim that a Mitzayr brings. Ask the Gemara, Ashim Mitzayr, Behedik Sebei. The Torah says explicitly that the Kohen gets a share of Dashim Mitzayr. The Torah says, Ki Chatas Ashim Hula Kohen. Says the Gemara, El Lerabbis, Ashim Nozah Kashim Mitzayr. That the Kohen gets a share of Dashim Nozah. For Sakadat Chamina, the purpose of the Ashim Nozah, Hachshikasi, Machloikis Rishonim, which type of Oshim Nazir we're speaking about? Are we speaking about the Oshim Nazir? That we know the halach is that if a Nazir, who is certainly not allowed to become Tamei, becomes Tamei, he has to be Matar himself, and then bring a series of Kabbonis, and then he can resume his Naziris, and therefore the purpose of the Kabbonis that are being discussed here is the Lahakshir, that he should be able to resume his Naziris, or perhaps we're speaking about the Oshim Nazir that every Nazir brings, that the halacha is that a Nazir brings a carbon, and only after he brings carbon can he come back to be allowed to drink wine and become Tameh. And therefore, since the purpose of this carbon Oshim is different, maybe the Kohen should not get a share of it, Kamash Malan that he does. The Pasuk concludes, and the Brayis concludes, Ashi Yeshivu Zagez Lager. The halacha is that there's a parish in the Torah of Hashem Zegos, which says that if somebody confronts someone else and says, you owe me money, and the person swears falsely that he does not, And then he confesses that he lied. The halacha is that he has to bring a Hashem Gzeilus, he has to bring a Karban Hashem, and he also has to give to the person who he lied Karen V'Chaymish. What happens if the person who he lied to passed away in the interim? So he has to do this with the Yarshim. But as we've learned many times, it is possible that somebody, that there is one person in Klal Yisrael who is possible should have no relatives. That's a ger, because Gershon is guide to Kaddish and Avodami. So what happens if such an episode happened with a ger? So the halacha is that it should be given to the Kohanim of that Mishmer when this episode happens. Teaches us the Pasuk, Yeshiv is a gezel a ger, l'chohu l'vanecha, shalchu the money that's given, the skezal ger money that's given, becomes the full-fledged property of the kohen. Machloikus rishayim, most rishayim are of the opinion that only this matnas kohuna, the gezal ger, is considered the full-fledged property of the kohanim, that they could even use it to kadosh person isha. But under normal circumstances, certainly Kabbanis, for example, that we discussed earlier in our shir, that are given to Kahanim, don't become the full-fledged property of the Koyin that it can use for Kaddish Basi Isha. Other Rishonim disagree, and other Rishonim say what the Gemara is teaching us is that all Matnas Kahuna that are given to Kahanim become the full-fledged property. Very interesting shaila that the Paiskim discuss. What is the halacha Bezman Hazeh? The Bezman Hazeh, the halacha, we know that if there would be such an episode with a ger, Bezman Hazeh, where somebody lied to the ger that he doesn't owe him money, and then after the ger passed away, he admits, to whom should he give that money? Many Paiskim are of the opinion that since nowadays, unfortunately, there is no Asham Gzeilus, there is no din of Karban Asham, so the entire din that the Torah describes of Gezel Ager doesn't apply, and the money should be given to Tzedakah. The Shiltus says that even though we don't have the parasha of Hashem Gzeilus, we don't have the Karban Asham, but we still have Kohanim, and the money should be given to a Kohen. So, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, Shalmei Oyvei Kochavim Oyus. Even if Oyvei Kochavim donates a carbon, shlomim, it becomes an oila. Says the Gemara, Ibayis eim a craw, Ibayis eim a svara. This halacha can be based either on a pasuk or can be based on a svara. Ibayis eim a svara, Oyvei Kochavim libel shmayim. When a guy gives a carbon, he doesn't understand that there's a part of a carbon that can remain to us, and a part of a carbon can go l'shamayim, he assumes that's completely l'shamayim. And as Mefarshim explained, even if the guy used the word, I'm giving a carbon shlomim, but he doesn't understand that what the shlomim means. And certainly, when he said it, what it means is that it becomes l'shamayim. It becomes l'shamayim. Bibay say makra, it's based on a pasuk, because the pasuk says, everything that he gives falls into the category of a carbon oil. So the Karen Ira says there's a very big nafkamina between these two pshatim. Why would be the halacha, says the Karen Ira, where a guy says, I'm donating the shlomim, and I know that by a shlomim, a share goes to the kohanim, or goes to the owners. Will it be a shlomim, or will it be an oil? If we follow the pasuk, says the Karen Ira, so the Torah is teaching us, the pasuk is teaching us, Agzeris Akasif, that a goy, every carbon that he gives is automatically a carbon oil. But if we, however, follow the svara, that's based on the svara, because the goy assumes that whatever he's donating becomes a carbon oil, because that's how he looks at things, if he knows explicitly that that's not what he meant, then it'll become, indeed, a carbon shlom. Another important question that the Achroidim discuss, what does it mean that when the guy gives a carbon, it becomes a carbon oil? Is it the way, are we to understand that, if, or even if you use the word shlomim, it automatically becomes a carbon oila? Or are we to understand it that no, the guy used the word shlomim, he meant shlomim. But when he actually, when it comes to the actual hakrava, that's when it becomes a carbon shlomim. What would be the nafkamina? There would be a number of nafkaminas. Where should we be makriv this carbon? If it becomes a carbon shlomim oila automatically, so we know that carbon oila, shchitasim betzafim, must be slaughtered in the north part of the Azara. If it only becomes a carbon oila when it's brought on the Mizbeach, then there isn't a din of shchitasim betzafim. Furthermore, we know that if a carbon oila, the halacha is, that a carbon oila is subject to me'ila from the moment you're magdish that carbon. Carbon shlomim, not. And therefore, it will be a big nafkamina. How to look, how do we look at this carbon? What would be the halacha? Rashi says that the same thing would be by the mincha of a goy. That if a goy was donated a carbon mincha, it should be completely burned, and the shirayim are not eaten by the kahanim, the subject that we discussed in the previous sugya. But here too, there's a discussion amongst the achroinim on how to understand Rashi. Are we to understand what Rashi means, they say, that any type of carbon mincha, even the carbon minchas, where normally the halacha is, that a goy, that normally the halacha of that carbon mincha is, that it's kibitz is burnt on the mizbeach, and the rest is eaten by the kahanim, when a goy donates that type of carbon mincha, the halacha is that it's completely burnt. That's one way of looking at it. Or, other achroim suggests that what Rashi means is that the goy only has the ability to be magdish what the goy only has the ability to be magdish a carbon mincha which is completely burnt. A carbon mincha which is not completely burnt, that is not burnt on the mizbeach. So the mefarshim continue to ask, according to the first pshat, that we said that is what we assume is the goy's intention, that he meant that it should be completely l'shamayim, but isn't that Tvarim Shevalev? The goy said that I'm donating a carbon shlomim, and we're saying what he meant was that it should be oil, it should be completely burned. But that's Tvarim Shevalev, and we know there's a rule throughout Shas that Tvarim Shevalev ain't in Tvarim. Explain the Mefarshim that where do we say Tvarim Shevalev ain't in Tvarim? Where it's not absolutely clear that that is what was the intention. But our Gemara is establishing a very strong point. Our Gemara is establishing that we're certain that when a guy donates a carbon, his intent is that it should be completely l'shamayim. There it doesn't fall into the category of Dvarim Shebelev, and that's why it's considered always a carbon oila. And as the Mefarshim explained, why is it so? So Mefarshim explained that the fundamental difference in our theology and the theology of the Akum is that the theology of Klal Yisrael is that we believe that b'chol drachecha de'edu, that we serve Hashem in all of our actions, not only when we're in the Beis HaMedrash and not only when we're in the Beis HaKnesses are we serving Hashem, are we doing Avodas Hashem, but Avodas Hashem permeates all of our actions and all of our lives. In everything that we do, there is Kedusha. In everything we do, there is Avodas Hashem. The Akum doesn't have the ability to understand that. The Akum understands as a concept of Libo L'Shamayim, that when we're in the Beis HaMikdash, we're doing Avodas Hashem. But that there should be something like a Shlomim, that there should be a concept of a carbon, Kahanim V'Oichlim, or Baalim V'Skaprim, there should be a concept of carbon Shlomim, that even the owners and their families get to enjoy a portion of the carbon. That is a foreign theology to Akum, and therefore the guy doesn't have that ability to understand. But then the Mefarshim have a very serious discussion that we know that ain't shlichus l'Akum, that we can't make an Akum into a Akum there's no concept of shlichus. Furthermore, there's a very big discussion if the Kahanim who do the avoid in the Beis HaMikdash are Shluchi the Don, are Shluchi the Rachmana, are they considered our Shluchim or the Shluchim of Hashem? And therefore the Achronim ask, how could a guy bring a carbon and the Kahanim bring the carbon on behalf of the guy when there is no Shlichus by Yaakov? So some say that the definition of Ein Shlichus L'Yaakov means that a guy cannot be a Shliach on behalf of a Jew, but that a Jew could be a Shliach on behalf of a guy, that is permissible. Pnei Yeshua says that the discussion if the Kahanim are Shlich the Don or Shluch the Rachmana is only by the Kabonis of a Yisrael, but by the carbon of an Akum, certainly Kahanim are considered Shluch the Rachmana. Others say that in every situation where not only by the carbon of an Akum, by every carbon that's brought by a person who can't do the Avodah himself, the Kahanim, even if there's a question of Kahanim Shluch the Don and Shluch the Rachmana, they're considered Shlucha the Rachmana. Another shot is that by Kabbonis, the Torah was Mechadish that Yesh Shlichus L'Akum, that Goyim can appoint the Shliach. Another shot that I saw is that the Torah is teaching us that this carbon, once the guy brings it to Beis HaMikdash, it's no longer considered his carbon. And since it's no longer considered his carbon, therefore, it doesn't work with Shlichus. Ask the Gemara, Masar Chama Goryo. It says in a Braisa, the guy donated a Shlomim, nice in Yisrael, Yisrael Eichel. If he gave it to Yisrael, Yisrael eats from it. Nice in the Kayin, a Kayin Eichel. And if he gives it to a Kohen, the Kohen eats from the carbon. So we see that a guy can't bring a shlamim. How do you, Rav Huna, say that a guy can't bring a shlamim? Answer to Gemara, I'm a Rav HaFikamar. I'm a Nashik Iskap Ben Yisrael. If a guy gives a carbon, the way most Rishonim explain, is that a guy was aware that a Yisrael owed a carbon shlamim, and therefore he gave the carbon shlamim on his behalf, or I'm a Nashik Iskap Ben Kohen, where he gave a carbon on behalf of a Kohen who's obligated to bring a carbon, the halach is that that will be considered a carbon shlamim. Or as the Mefarshim go on to say, the Ragged Shavu goes on to say, what the Gemara is teaching us is that even if a guy originally donated was magdish a carbon, and then he becomes aware that a Yisrael or a Kohen who he knows owes a carbon, he could use that animal that he was Magdish on behalf of the Yisrael and the Kohen. So the question the Brisker Rav asks, so if the Brice is teaching us that the Yisrael, that the guy could give the carbon on behalf of the Yisrael or Kohen, why is there a difference between the Yisrael and the Kohen that the Brice has to say two different rules? So answer the Brisker Rav, because we know what our luck is, and we're going to discuss this further in our parak, that a Kohen, even though he's only supposed to do the avoid in his mishmar, if he's bringing the carbon, he's allowed to do the avoid whenever that carbon is brought. Teaches us the Braisa that if the guy is giving the carbon on behalf of the Kohen, it's considered, says the Brisker Rav, completely the carbon of the Kohen, that the Kohen could have the right to do the avoida, even if in a time when it's not his mishmar. Ask the Gemara, Master of Shizbi, it said in our Mishnah, Ehu Menachos Mitmatzos, V'shirayim L'kahanim, Michas Oivdei Kachavim. So doesn't our Braisa clearly indicate that Oivdei Kachavim could bring a Karbon Mincha? And as the Rishonim say, here the Gemara doesn't want to give the Teretz that it just gave a moment ago, that he's bringing a Karbon Mincha on behalf of Yisrael, because the Mishnah, by using the broad terminology, Minchas Oivdei Kachavim, seems to be speaking about all carbon minchas that a guy could bring, not only when he's bringing it on behalf of a Jew. Therefore, says the Gemara, Am Rav Yochanan Lakasha. Harav Yosef Glili, Harav Akiva. It represents a machloikis of Rav Yosef Glili, Rav Akiva. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. The Pasuk says, Ish, Matam Eloi, Ish, Ish. L'Rabbis says, Oed Kachavim, Shenoidim V'Nadar Medoski Yisrael, that a guy could also bring kabonis. Some say we learn it from the fact that the Torah uses the word ish two times, Others say we learn it from the fact that the Torah uses the word ish to introduce this halacha, to teach us that a goy is able to bring a korban. Machloikis, how do we understand this? Is this to be understood that a goy is obligated, if he makes a pledge, he has to bring the korban, he's obligated a din of lo yachal dvaroi? Others say that lo yachal dvaroi certainly only applies to Jews, it doesn't apply to Akum, because we don't find that lo yachal dvaroi should be is one of the Zayin mitzvahs b'nei noyach. Although, the Mepharshim say, if we're going to say that Akum are not obligated in lo yachal dvaroi, we find in the Torah different episodes where goyim were subject to different vows, Avram and Avimelech, Avram and Yitzchak and Avram and Eliezer. So how do we see that they were able to make, what was the purpose if there's no yachal dvaroi by goyim? So some want to differentiate between neder and shvuah. A shvuah is in the category of birchas Hashem, which a goy is obligated to follow. The Meshech Chochma takes a very interesting approach. He says that even though there are zayin mitzvot b'nei noyach, not more, he explains that certainly anything that's understood that that's what you're supposed to do, the goyim are obligated to do. And certainly it's understandable that one has to keep his word. And therefore, even if it's not one of the Zayin mitzvahs b'nei noyach, the halacha is that you have to follow. You have to follow it. So again, Rav Yochanan or Kasha, Harav Yosef Glili, Harav Akiva, the Tani Ish, Matam Lam Ish Ish, the Rabbis, as all the Chacham Shnoidim the Dorim the Dovski Yisrael, Asher Kriva Hashem LaOyla, Only Oyla. How do we know a guy to bring an only an Oyla? Shlomim Menayim. Tamalim Nedreim, Toyd Menayim, Tamalim Nedvasim, Menayim LeRabbis HaYoifis VaYayim VeLavona VeEitzim, that they too could bring those. Tamalim Nedreim L'Chol Nedreim, the Dvasim L'Chol Nedvasim, Imkei Ma Tamalim Oyla, Oyla Pratul Nazirus the Rav Yosef Glili. The only thing that the guy can't bring is Nazirus. Rav Kivayma, Shikriva LaShem LaOyla, Only Eila Bavad. According to Kiva, the only carbon a guy could bring is oil. So when we have a machlokes, if we see that a guy could bring other carbonates, it represents the opinion of Yosef Glili. Ask the Gemara, according to Yosef Glili, the high prapul Naziris Mahachanafka, is that the guy doesn't bring Naziris? Learn from here, Mahasam Nafka, we learn it from somewhere else. Because the Pasuk says, Dabba, B'nai Yisrova Mata Leyem, Ish, Kiafli Neder, Linda Neder, Lazir, Lahazir. But then Yisrael Noidrim, from here we see that only Yisrael make Nedarim, Vein Odikhom Noidrim, that Goyim don't become Nazirim. Answers the Gemara, Imasim, if I would only have that Pasuk, have Amina, carbon Nazirim, that they don't have the ability to bring the carbon Nazirim, Avil Nazirim Chalalayu, that they should be able to become Nazirim, Kamash Malon, that he can't even become a Nazir. The question is, if he can't become a Nazir, obviously he doesn't bring a carbon Nazir. So why do we need to have both Pesukim? So the Mepharshim explain, because here, by carbon Nazir, unlike by other carbonists, the halacha is that not only is a Nazir, now Akum can't become a Nazir, and therefore he certainly doesn't bring carbon Naziris, but he can't even bring a carbon Naziris on behalf of the Yisrael, who's obligated to bring a carbon Naziris. Ask the Gemara, Taman Azalad Tanan, Amr Shimon, Shivat Var Meskin Bezdin. There were 7 rules that Bezdin made. The Zeach Mem, and one of them was, the other Chacham Shalt Oilos from Medina Siyam, and the other Chacham sent the carbon oil from Medina Siyam, the Shalch Imah in the Sechel, and he sent along the Sochem, Krev Mishaloi. Then they're brought on the Mizbeach. Not if he sold the, sent the ingredients, say to Rishonim, because they would be Tameh. He sent the funds. Then laugh, Krev Mishaloi Tziba, Lamer of Yosef Glili V'Roi Rekiva, because Rekiva says the Goyim don't bring the Sochem, answered the Gemara, I feel Tamer Rekiva. Oil of a kol chaver seha. When does Rekiva say that a guy doesn't bring the sachem? When he's bringing the sachem alone. But when he's bringing the sachem as part of the carbon oila, the halach is that they are accepted. Continues the Gemara. Matan alahadatan rabban Ezra. Ezra made in the sachem. Then Oil of a kol chaver made in the sachem. Yachalaita lost a tuna in the sachem. We assume that the guy's carbon doesn't require the sachem. Tamalai makacha, mani. It seems to be letter of Yosegli with letter of Akiva. Rabbi Yosegli, hamafil yai nami. Rabbi Yosegli says that a guy can bring wine even without a carbon. Rabbi Akiva, didn't Rabbi Akiva teach us hama oil in midach rinaloi that only the carbon can be brought by an akum, not wine, not nesachim? Says the Gemara, this price could be explained by say Rabbi Yosegli that it's following the opinion of Yosegli. Ibai saying that the price could be explained that it's following the opinion of Akiva. Ibai saying Rabbi Yosegli, if we're going to say it's following the opinion of Yosegli, some mahi yayin. We're going to have to omit yayin from things that the akum could bring. And indeed, Rabbi Yosegli will agree that yayin cannot be brought by an akum. Ibai saying Akiva, when the Akiva say that akum can't bring yayin, when he's bringing yayin alone, but here where it's being brought as part of the covenant oila, Oyla b'kol kavasa, oyla and everything that's accompanied with it, even Rabbi Kiva will agree that an akum may bring.